This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Mai haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0, independent community media. Good afternoon, I'm Bruce Scott, this is Cosmopolitan News and Views, joined shortly by Mel Driscoll, QSM, Dwayne Porter, Gary Schofield and others this afternoon. Fine, south westerlies dying out this evening. Monday, low cloud. At first, lifting in the morning, becoming mainly fine from afternoon with south-westerlies. Sunset this evening, 7:48pm. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:16am. In Hamilton, we're expecting a temperature today of 24 degrees, overnight low of 9. It's 21 degrees in the city. What's on my mind? The opinion is mine. Column, comment, history, events, birthdays, deaths, New Zealand Parade, Chartall.nz, March 15, 1977. As I said, American and World Politics with Gary Schofield. Sitting on the dock of the bay is Dwayne Porter, and we'll have Trevor's talk before 2pm this afternoon. Have you filled up your car this afternoon or this morning? Has the price of petrol gone up? It is due to the machinations of one Donald John Trump, who thinks he can take over the world by bombing the hell out of his so-called opponents. The latest, of course, is Iran. This is similar to Hitler. There's so many connotations with both Hitler and Trump. Same MO. Got German blood in them through his father. Donald Trump is a failed real estate agent. He's got many convictions, fraud, and lots more. And still the people in America vote for him. But sadly, the days of Donald Trump may be over. He's already got rid of one of his people who loved him so much. That was Kirsty Noem. Others are going too. This week we had a Republican member of the House leave and go independent. So right now, it's a very tight squeeze when it comes to voting. But still, Trump carries on telling the world what he is planning next. And then, of course, turning around. What happened to the tariffs? Well, they were deemed illegal. A lot of what Trump does is illegal. He's destroyed one part of the White House. He goes golfing at any moment. He set up a war room at Mar-a-Lago where secrets can be passed around. And, of course, he's in cahoots with Israel, who I think are leading the parade of soldiers through Iran. Israel has enemies too. They've had enemies since the days of Moses. It's all sad for the people of Israel. A lot of Jewish people I've met in the past are such lovely people. And I've met a lot of Muslim people too. How sad for a crazy American president to treat the world like he does. Look out next week. We'll see how fast petrol goes up again. Afternoon all, if you just tuned in at 16 minutes to 1 o'clock. Let's take a look at history. Today in 2019, Brendan Tarrin murders 51 worshippers in two Christchurch mosques and live streams the proceedings.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one.
It's true. It's true. The crown has made it clear.
Today in 1964, Elizabeth Taylor marries Richard Burton.
A law was made a distant moon ago here. July and August cannot be too hot. And there's a legal limit to the snow here in Camelot.
Today in 2023, we're just remembering a big television series that was on not so long ago, and it became a very, very popular television series, and I'm trying to find the theme to it, and it should come up very, very shortly. Maybe we'll have to leave it alone, and I think we've found it right now. Today in 2023, actress Dame Thora Heard, Last of the Summer Wine, dies. Henry VIII becomes the supreme head of the Church of England this day in 1531. In 2004, New Zealand-born NASA scientist William Pickering dies. So satisfied. BC, the Ides of March, this day, Roman senators assassinate Julius Caesar. And this day in 1945, Kiss Me Kate opens in London.
Wunderbar!
Wunderbar! Wunderbar!
There's our favorite star above.
What a bright, shining star!
Like a love, it's wunderbar!
Gazing down on the Jungfrau.
And it was this day in 2019 that Brendan Tarrant murders 51 worshippers in two Christchurch mosques and live streamed the proceedings. At the moment, he is serving a whole life term. It's gone to appeal, so less said the better about that. But we remember in Christchurch, Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, came to Christchurch. And at the end of the ceremony, he sung his 1971 hit, Peace Train. It's 11 minutes to one.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Yeah, I've been smiling lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Just ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. Yes, peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. Get your together. Come bring your good friends too, cause it's getting nearer, and soon we'll be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you, and it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Come on, the peace train. It's peace train, holy roller.
Everyone jump on the peace train. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Come on, come on, come on.
Yes, come on, peace train. Yes, it's the peace train.
FM 89.0 from the album Teaser and the Firecat, Yusuf Islam, Cat Stevens and the Peace Train, as we remember today the anniversary of the mosque massacres in Christchurch and being live streamed by Brandon Tarrant. As I said, the case is before the appeals court. He's because he's got a whole life sentence ahead of him and he will never get out of prison, and he's appealing that, and we'll not talk about that much more. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's 6 minutes to 12 o'clock. Time to brighten your afternoon somehow. Let's try the Irish Rovers.
That you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Oh, me father was an Ulster man, proud Protestant was he. My mother was a Catholic girl from County Cork was she. They were married in two churches, lived happily enough, until the day that I was born and things got rather tough.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Baptized by Father Riley, I was rushed away by car to be made a little orange man, my father's shining star. I was christened David Anthony, but still in spite of that, to my father I was William, while my mother called me Pat.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
With mother every Sunday to Mass I proudly strolled. Then after that the Orange Lodge would try to save my soul. For most I tried to claim me, but I was smart because I'd play the flute or play the harp, depending where I was.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. My father, he was orange, and my mother, she was green.
Now when I'd sing the
them rebel songs, much to me mother's joy. Me father would jump up and say, look here, will you, me boy? That's quite enough of that lot. He'd then toss me a coin, and he'd have me sing the orange flute of the heroes of the Boyne.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. Me father, he was orange, and me mother, she was green.
One day me ma's relations came round to visit me, just as my father's kinfolk were all sitting down to tea. We tried to smooth things over, but they all began to fight, and me be strictly neutral, I bashed everyone in sight.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. Me father, he was orange, and me mother, she was green.
Now my parents never could agree about my type of school. My learning was all done at home, that's why I'm such a fool. They both passed on, God rest them, but it left me caught between that awful colour problem of the orange and the green.
Oh, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. Me father, he was orange, and me mother, she was green. Yes, it is the biggest mix-up that you have ever seen. Me father, he was orange, and me mother, she was green. Hey!
Yes, the Irish Rovers and the Orange and the Green. New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, March 15, 1977. Number one, After the Love and Engelbert Humperdinck. Number 31, Annie Whittle, the New Zealand singer-actress, Tequila Sunrise. As we know, Tequila Sunrise, it's a drink. It's a song by the Eagles and a version, well, a new song by songwriters Gary Page and Mark Punch, produced by Alan Galbraith. We remember Annie Whittle in Close to Home. This is Tequila Sunrise. 3-1, Annie Whittle.
I've been thinking, I've waited all night for the touch of your hand on my door. Now I see what a fool I have been. You just won't come. No, you just won't.
Sailing on home, and when the day ends in the setting sun, my and play. Each machine seemed to say, as I walked round and round the penny arcade, just ring the bell on the big bagatelle and you'll make all the colored lights cascade and music play in the penny arcade. Yes, it played and it played. Yes, it played and it played, played all the time. Roll up and spend your last, roll up and spend your last, roll up and spend your last time.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, cosmopolitan news and views. The late great Roy Orbison off the album The Big O, and Penny Arcade shortly talking ships and everything else with Dwayne Porter. But right now we're remembering a New Zealand-born American scientist who was in the space race in America. Here's the Royal Guardsman and the smallest astronaut.
Chosen few. The systems check out A-OK. We're going to the moon. Moonshot countdown, Earth shine on. Blaze your light away. Tell the world the universe belongs to us today. On through the pull of 50 G's and up through the atmosphere. Suddenly a blip, it's the radar screen, and another ship flies near. The astronauts try the radio, but the mystery ship flies on. So the captain hits the retro boost, and the race to the moon is on. Discouraging word. A faithful friend knows all is lost if the Baron keeps his pace. So he volunteers for a decoy flight so his friends can win the race.
Releasing emergency space vehicle.
The decoy ship heads back to Earth and the Baron turns around. The moon's forgotten till he shoots our hero down. But as the smallest astronaut lands safe
Sherrod, Cunningham, Izell, Grissom, White, Chappie.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media, the Royal Guardsman, and the Littlest Astronaut. It's one of the Snoopy songs, of course. It's 5:01. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
How's it going?
Oh, very good, very
okay,
good.
Okay, let's have your report and we'll see what happens in crime. What's happening ship-wise?
The ship-wise is that we've got the we've got six petrol boats arriving in to into Port of Tauranga.
Where have they come from? Not through the Straits of Hormuz, I hope. Not.
Yes, there is. Apparently, last week there was about three petrol boats that actually caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
And what has actually happened was that they have put it into the three of them blew up.
Yes.
And caught fire.
Yep.
So what we've done is we've decided to, they decide to turn around, and lucky they've got another load of boats arriving in. So this week we've got one coming from north of China, got another one coming in from Marsden, coming into Marsden Point, another one coming in from towards, back from Dubai, towards Napier, and one's coming over from Japan to head to out back out to the sea. So the Marsden Point one, so what has actually happened is there's 28 boats sitting out in the sea at the moment waiting to come in because there's this big delay of the export is what's actually happened over in the in Dubai. So Dubai has struck it, and also it's going to happen in China. China has struck it now.
Yep.
Is that half of their stuff which is coming from China to go to China, they're going to send it to Korea and Japan.
Yeah, of course. Shane Jones had a lot to say about this during the week in Parliament, and what a blowhard. He's going to get himself into trouble again, Shane Jones, with all this, and he's blaming everybody but himself. But otherwise, now, you'll be coming back shortly again after yep. when Mr. Driscoll arrives.
Yep. Also, I'll tell you about the petrol price.
Yep.
It's gone up $4.20.
Yeah, it's about $3.07 in America at the moment. And Trump promised, of course, that he'd decrease the petrol prices.
That's what's happened at the moment.
Yep.
Mobil have put their price up to about $14.
Yep.
Packinsale, Mill Street and Clarence Street have got up to $4.
Yeah, just watch for the groceries to rise in price and other imported products. Okay, anything on the crime scene?
Yeah, there's quite a bit happened overnight. Since that concert was, the bridge was closed for the concert and that, all the emergency services were trying to get through there, but they had to open up the road to let them through because
yep.
there was incidents happened down by the Collins Bridge towards the Boundary Road, Heavy Terrace area.
Tell me, why was the Claudens Bridge closed off? I know it shouldn't have happened.
It's the council's idea to have that closed off because that was part of the entertainment part they had on that bridge was part of the concert.
I think they'll think next time. They will not close a bridge off. You've got to let emergency services through. And this is why I'm angry sometimes when you're on a bus and the bus pulls over, but a car just does not pull over when an ambulance goes, whoo, or a police car.
So they did let the emergency services through on the Collins Bridge to go through that way. They did let them through. But why they closed it for is that they had everything on down there, so
But it also hampered traffic through there with buses, etc., etc. And some of the buses were running late. We'll hear from you more very, very shortly.
Part two.
if I let you on, I will let you on later. It is 1:10. We've just heard about rocket ships and Snoopy and the Littlest Astronaut and William Pickering. So right now, let's have a song about an aeroplane.
I'm a district in the
We'll have a song about an aeroplane right now here at Free FM 89.0. These are the Irish Rovers again.
Fight for resources. Hurting your traffic.
Yeah, no, we'll try this right now.
We do things differently.
Well, my plane evermore.
Way out in London Airport in hangar number 4, a lonely little biplane left whose name was Evermore. His working days were over, no more would he sail. Upon his wings above the clouds, flying the Royal Mail.
Bye, 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 plane, once upon a sky plane. Bye, bye, hush-a-bye, lullaby, plane.
All the mighty jet planes would look down their nose. They'd laugh and say, oh, I'm so glad that I'm not one of those. And Evermore would shake away the teardrops from his wings and dream of days when he again could do heroic things.
Bye, 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 plane, once upon a sky plane. Bye, bye, hush-a-bye, lullaby, plane.
Then one day the fog and rain had closed the airport down, and all the mighty jet planes were helpless on the ground. When a call came to the airport for a mercy flight, 'twould be too late, they could not wait, someone must fly tonight. And he rolled the little biplane out to runway number 5, and though he looked so small and weak, he knew he could survive. And as he rose into the storm, the jets hung their wings, and they hoped someday, like evermore, to do heroic things.
Bye, 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 plane, once upon a sky plane. Bye, bye, hush, goodbye, lullaby, plane.
I saw me baby bundle, I have spun a tale for you. You must learn there's nothing in this world that you can't do. Ah, do not be discouraged by circumstance or size. Remember evermore and set your sights up in the skies.
Bye, 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 plane, once upon a sky plane. Bye, bye, hush-a-bye, lullaby, plane.
Whenever you're ravishing tonight, you make me the happiest of men.
Oh, your highness, you overdone me.
Wunderbar!
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 There's our favorite star above.
What a bright, shining star.
Like a love, it's wunderbar.
Down on the Jungfrau,
from our secret chalet for two,
let us drink lips and mine
in the moonlight to be thine,
to the joy of a dream come true.
Wunderbar,
wunderbar. Perfect night for love.
Here am I, here you are.
Why, it's truly wunderbar, wunderbar, wunderbar. We're alone and hand in glove.
Not a cloud near or far.
Why, it's more than wunderbar.
Say you care, dear.
Or you madly.
Hey, you long, dear,
for your kiss.
Do you swear, dear?
Darling, gladly.
Life's divine, dear.
When you're mine, dear.
Oh!
Wunderbar, wunderbar. There's our favorite star above.
Lovely voices, the late Catherine Grayson and the late Howard Keel. Wunderbar. Might play another version of that song before we go at 2 o'clock. It is 17 minutes past 1 o'clock.
I'm Johnny Mackay of the HLI. I'm fond of the lassies and I drop me for by. One day when I'm walking I chance to see a bonny wee lassie with a glint in her ee. Said I to the lassie, will you walk for a while? I'll buy you a bonnet, we'll do it in style. My kilt is Mackenzie of the HLI. She looked at me shyly and said with a sigh, a garden for me, a garden for me. If you're no a garden, you're no use to me. The black watcher brought the sea for sun, but the cocky wee garden's the pride of them all. I caught it, that girl on the banks of the Dee. I made up my mind she was fashion for me. Soon I was a-thinking how nice it would be if she would consent to get married to me. The day we were wedded the grass was so green, the sun was as bright as the light in a ring. Now we've two bonny lassies who sit on her knee while she sings the song she once sang to me. A garden for me. If you're not a garden, you're no use to me. The black watcher brought the sea for snow, but the cocky wee garden's the pride of them all.
Hush, my bonnie, bonnie wee bairn, close your eyes.
If you're not a garden, you're no use to me. The black watcher brought a sea for snow, but the cocky wee garden's the pride of them all.
A garden for me, a garden for me. If you're not a garden, you're no use to me. The black watcher brought a sea for snow, but the cocky wee garden.
Gordon for me, the late Robert Wilson. What a tenor voice. It's 20 past one. Good afternoon, Mr. Driscoll.
Good afternoon, and especially to Marilyn Yates. Now, Marilyn, your connections with the Pirongia district cover all of 60 years. If King Charles III knocked on your door asking what's the top 10 aspects, events and insights into Pirongia's place in the world, what might you say? And where might we find out about it?
Well, of course, you'd find out about that at the Pirongia Heritage and Information Centre, centred in Franklin Street.
Pirongia Heritage and Information Centre. Is it the sort of place you could easily drive past and not notice?
I doubt it. We are an old church, St. Saviour's Church, that was moved originally from the Canterbury Redoubt to Waikeria, and then in the year 2000 was then moved back to Pirongia. So we're right in the centre of the little village.
And that village has a long history, for New Zealand at least.
It has.
How would you put it?
1863, the village was sort of drawn up as a town. The militia was stationed there, and there were three redoubts by the rivers.
So it was intended to grow more than it actually has.
Oh, yes, it was very, very much so. It was intended to be, at one stage, almost, I suppose, the centre of Hamilton, really, although we were a little bit too far up the river for that. But, of course, when the railway, when King Tarpeo agreed with his, and rode into Prongia with his 400 warriors and laid down their muskets and agreed that the Europeans could move into the King Country in 1881, then the roads that was had coming from Auckland and stopping at Te Mapuai, which is by Mount Kakapuka. So after that, of course, Tarpeo, when he agreed to lay down his muskets and allow the Europeans through, then the roads then proceeded south and the railway. So the railway never actually came to Prongia. It sort of proceeded south to Otorohanga.
Which Maori warrior is buried under the streets of Porongia? There's a Maori warrior buried under the streets of Porongia, isn't there?
Or is I beg your pardon?
There's a Maori warrior buried in the street under the streets of Porongia, isn't there?
I don't know about that one.
It seems
that Tarpeo was, but he's not buried in Porongia. King Tarpeo, the second Maori king, he was living across the river at Whatipatihoe.
I think it was a warrior from the Maori War that I'll have to have a look on Google shortly about this one.
Yeah, do that.
It is a question of finding out information to add to what you already have, Marilyn. Is it difficult
extra
to come
information? Probably our most popular exhibit would be the Ormsby family display. We have a lot of visitors just to come to see their sort of heritage tree. Robert Ormsby, very early. Travelled from Ireland to Prongia to meet up with his brothers, and the story is that he became lost in the bush and taken home by a Maori chief's son, and later on sort of partnered up with Pianika, a Maori chief's daughter, and he married Pianika, and as a gift, of course, she was given a whole lot of land. And the Ormsby family sort of started there, and they had a big family of about, I think, 16 or 17 children, and that has come down years. There's still a family, two families of Ormsby at Prongia, but with their intermarriage, there are just hundreds and hundreds of family members, and they often come to visit and see our display of photographs of Robert and his family. Yes.
Intermarriage makes for a healthy society, do you think?
When people
fall in love and they come from different camps, if only it could work that way in the Middle East today.
Yes, certainly.
Now, you've had a long association with the township. Is that what you call it, a township? Of Porongia?
A village, probably, yes.
And in the village of Porongia, someone of your forebears first set their foot?
Someone.
I'm not sure who.
I think the early militia, there was about 400 militiamen stationed in Prongia.
Mm-hmm. And among them, the Yates or not?
Oh, no, because at that stage, of course, where I'm living at Tutahi Road, of course, it's King Country. And at that stage, of course, Europeans were not allowed into the King Country. The Waipa River was the boundary. It was called the Aukati Line. And the Europeans could not move into the King Country, which was a Maori land, until 1881.
The whole place is full of history, from Te Amutu to where you are today. Does the settlement of Porongia still celebrate their past?
We have celebrated 150 years. The school, 150 years. The main memorial hall is about 104 years.
Yep.
Yes, we're quite a very old village. In fact, I think the rugby club is one of the oldest rugby clubs in New Zealand.
Yeah, no, you're talking about 150 years for your school. Kaipaki School, which I attended, is also celebrating its 150th year this year. So there's a lot of celebrations going on in some of these older schools.
Oh, that's right. Yes, well, The oldest schoolroom is actually in Porongia, and it's part of the Placinger building. It was moved from Porongia School in 1979, and we saved the building. And it's an old Kauri building. An old Kauri room attached to a Rimu room, but it's now in the Placinger, and that's the oldest schoolroom in the Waikato.
Was it under threat?
It was under threat, and we had to gather together to save it. Right back in 1978, I was a party to that. Yes, we managed to have it trucked into the village.
Can't find the information.
It's part of keeping our old buildings.
Can't find the information about the Maori Warrior, but I'll do some more research tonight or tomorrow when I get home. But
yes, do that.
But one thing you do miss is Christmas, Porongia races. You miss those?
Yes, I've attended many of those over the years, but of course, they had to be stopped a few years ago. There'd been a bit of an accident on one of the bins, and it was just going to cost them too much to have to repair it. So now it's just remained as a golf club. But for many years, it certainly was the centre of Porongia.
Yeah, I remember.
Many, many years.
I do remember my family attending the Porongia races around Boxing Day, so.
That's right.
What else is Porongia famous for?
Are we famous for? Perhaps we're famous for being one of the early villages on the river. The river was the main road. The river was the transport. It was the highway. And the steamers were able to come up as far as Porongia. The canoes, of course, could travel up through the river, through the Waipa, and through the Mangapiko and the Puni. So it was very, very accessible. And I think because of that, Porongia developed with the Europeans on one side of the river, and of course, Kotikotihui, the Maori, King Tapia's pastor on the other side of the river. And of course, that brought peace to the area. They learned to help each other, and of course, that's how the laying down of arms happened opposite the Porongia Hotel right back in 1881.
Well, I don't know if it were as well known as the hotel. But you do have, overlooking the village, the most telling of scenes of the relief of the volcanoes that popped up through our terrain, the range, the Porongia Mountain itself. Have you been to the top?
Not quite. I've been up to Corcoran's Road almost to the top, and I've also walked up tracks from my end here, used to be the old Tiwarawara track, which of course was closed many years ago because of the team of drawing their water supply from up this way. So I've been up to that one, and I've taken school children up to many trips to the lodge and further over the years. Yes.
Your decision to go into teaching is one that's had far-reaching consequences. It's enabled you, for instance, to be able to galvanise others into cooperation in the project of Porongia Heritage and Information Centre. It's wonderful what you've achieved, really.
Yeah, it is, because
we get about 2,500 people come through a year, mainly overseas people, and they just love it to see old New Zealand. They walk into our church, and it's old New Zealand. Our displays are sort of kept in that manner. And, yes, we have about 10 committee members. They're all voluntary members. We have one administrator, Jenny Mortland, and she does about eight hours a week, but a lot of time at home as well, really. She really works overtime, and we sort of work on a fairly minimal budget, having to apply, of course, for grants, and we get donations. But we do have a wonderful researcher called Alan Hoare, and he does a lot of research for people on genealogy of early families that lived in Porongia, and all the work he does, he gives the donations to us, so we're very grateful for that.
Yep. Yes. It's good that you keep history alive, because I used to talk to the late Iris Parker at the Cambridge Museum, and what a bunch of history she knew about the early days of Cambridge. It's good that you and the late Iris are keeping history alive.
Thank you.
The big performance economically of your region would be the dairying industry. Had your family any part in that?
Just say that again.
Dairying has been very well known to the aspects of Waikato, and I'm wondering, how do you see Peronia fits in with farming?
Well, actually, no. We're actually sheep farming. I know it's a bit odd. Perhaps in the Waikato, well, on the hills, really. I live on the hills, on Titahi Road, on the hills, really. We do have two dairy heifers grazed here, but we're trying to hold into sheep. And, of course, that big rain bomb just 2 weeks ago has hit our hills quite bad. And we've got lots of huge, big slips, and sheep are not easy to keep in. You can't use electric fences to keep your sheep in. So, yes, it's been a little bit of a shock after all those years to have had those big slips and that heavy 280 mils of rain come.
Marilyn, it's been a pleasure talking to you this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. There we are. Bit of Waikato history coming up. We've got Gary Schofield coming up to talk about America and the world. What's going on? I did promise you to find you another version of Wunderbar. I did find this version by Sir Harry Secombe and Moira Anderson. Harry Secombe and Scottish singer Moira Anderson and their version of Wunderbar from Kiss Me Kate, which opened in London this day in 1945. Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
When you look at the events that have come since you pronounced they would be likely a thorn in the side of those who wanted to overcome the difficulties and settle down in the Middle East again, you would point out that the way that things stand, it's not easy to feed the people of the Gulf States, Dubai. The people of these cities built on sand rely on desalination plants, supplies reaching them in sufficiency, but now that's all threatened the fabric of the life that goes on in the Gulf. Is it having to adjust in any big way to the new reality? Gary Schofield.
Very good point. This is a fairly understated, underrealized problem that the Gulf states are vulnerable to this war in terms of how do you get them supplied with food. I mean, there's many, many difficult issues that this war has created, and that is just one of them. But just before I carry on, I did want to make a lighthearted and a pleasurable statement, and that was it was a joy to see what a great tapestry has been created. It looks like something off a cathedral and stained glass of your two visages as you're there representing Cosmopolitan News and Views on the website. I think it was very wonderfully creatively done, and I've been sending it to people, and how nice for your station or the studio or those that care about your show to have done that for you. So I would recommend all your viewers take a look at the website and the wonderful picture of both of you, Mel and Bruce, on there at the top.
I don't know who did it. No one's whispering in our ears. So I'm not guilty. I'm not a good artist like you are. So someone's done it for us. Hey, thank you to the person who did.
Yes, indeed. So carry on to less pleasant news. Yes, those also people are not conscious of the fact that there is a nuclear danger involved in this. And I would say most people, and I don't know, you're a couple of very clever historians, but realistically, did you know that in Golda Meir's time in 1973, when the Yom Kippur War was not going very well for Israel and it felt threatened, that Israel mobilized and readied its nuclear weapons? So this precedent has been set before. So should this war continue, and it doesn't mean that Israel would be defeated militarily, but if it is taking cluster bombs, if it's it feels threatened, or if it wants to escalate the conflict, there could well be a nuclear escalation or the threat of that. And the last time this happened, by the way, Henry Kissinger went over to talk specifically and to pacify Golda Meir and offer her all kinds of deals from the U.S. Not a lot of people know the history and the things that could go wrong. One other thing that could go wrong, by the way, is the fact that we've now got Ukraine drone operators come from Ukraine into the conflict, down into Iran. This is as a prelude to any ground forces and boots on the ground. The U.S., right? 5,000 maybe less, maybe more, but 5,000. And don't forget, Iran could mobilize an army up to about 900,000. Not that to say that they'd be all engaged, but I'm just saying this is a perilous venture. So what's to stop Russia also bringing down their drone operators? And before you know it, you have Russian military and U.S. military killing each other. What could go wrong there?
Did you ever meet Henry Kissinger?
I didn't, but he was a very close friend of a very close friend of mine. He was a close friend of Connie Lorne. They spoke often and were very, very good friends. And so I, by one degree away, yes, that's as close as I got. But yes, I'm very familiar with his life and his work. And again, you're looking at some of, always watch and look at history without rose-colored glasses. Because, of course, a lot of terrible mistakes were made too by Henry. But yes, so here we have a situation where the United States has used the material even, and a lot of these weapon systems are what is used for the defense of Taiwan, of course. So either in actuality, the actual weapons that we're planning on using in Taiwan to defend Taiwan, or ones very, very similar to it. And like I said last week, the United States is not omnipotent. It is finite in its resources. And, well, you know, Taiwan, an invasion time would be April, where there's no cyclones and hurricanes, or and the tides are right, and so it could be promoting, if we look at Trump as making the biggest mistake of his career, which I believe it could end up being, what happens if she makes the same mistake and thinks that the United States will not defend Taiwan and makes the decision to take it back? So that is another one of the perils involved in all of this.
If we remember Kennedy, he had Robert McNamara as his spokesperson, and he did a lot of diplomacy, did Robert McNamara.
And well, indeed, and of course, a lot of the diplomacy is how you dress up the Vietnam War to be a success.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But McNamara, this is after Kennedy was dead. And by the way, a memo, October 3rd, 1963, from Kennedy to Maxwell Taylor, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, withdrew from Vietnam. So if Kennedy had not been assassinated, there would be no war in Vietnam. Yeah. But McNamara went on to be one of, as you just quite rightly pointed out, one of the best communicators as Secretary of Defense, of course, for the Johnson administration in dressing up and promoting the Vietnam War.
But the problem is Marco Rubio, who's Secretary of State, and Hesketh and others, they're just bowing and scraping to Trump, and the world's going to a hell in a handbasket, and I'm going to play The Eve of Destruction shortly from Barry Maguire. So,
Well, looking at some of the strategies that are being employed. So, all right, yes, let's just assume that there's a big success in destroying Cog, you know, the island that is the most important hub for oil. Well, the point is that the oil price is up, and it is pressuring the economy. Should the oil actually be destroyed, or they blow it up, that's not going to help mitigate the problems that this is causing for the Western economies and shattering, you know, what could be, you know, civilization, not to overstate it.
Yeah.
So, yes, you've got not many voices saying the opposite to what he's probably hearing. And after all, he was listening to two of the voices that are very suspect, which is Lindsey Graham, who's been wanting to bomb Iran for as long as I can remember, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who's admitted the same. So decision-making, one good thing about Trump, he could do a 180. No other diplomat, no other president, no other leader has ever said, that's a bit of a mistake.
Yep.
Well, they don't say it's a mistake, but they do a 180, they forget about it, they do something else.
Well,
he has the power and the ability as a leader to do that, and I hope he does, because the current strategy, which is to destroy the country, basically, by having factions in a civil war and you know, like Syria, or go in there, seize the Strait of Hormuz on the Iranian side, push through, and remember, forget the missiles and the drones, what about the subs and the mines? You know, apart from, it's very perilous, all these operations are perilous, and this is in a war that Trump won before he started.
Yeah. Anyway,
in other words, he had got what he wanted, which is the nuclear proliferation issue, because Iran had decided to give over and hand over its 400 kilograms of uranium. So it was a victory before it became snatched into this current perilous operation.
But let's come back to America and how the Democrats are flipping seats. I think at about numbers 28 at the moment, and one of the MAGA people have switched to be an independent, so it's getting shorter and shorter in the House and Congress, voting rights and all that. And
Well, I must say that over the last couple of years, you have often been trumpeting this, and I didn't see it, but now I do. And I think this is because an unpopular war can have tremendous political repercussions to a sitting president. So, yes, Trump is in danger of losing his base. He's in danger of, as you say, Republicans slipping to Democrats. He's in danger of the people that support or believe in him And there are, for all the people that believe in Trump derangement syndrome or suffer from it as a form of hating him, there are also those people that believe in Trump utopian syndrome,
yep,
who think that he's messianic and doing what he should be doing. But if there is a war that is going to cause such chaos and shift the balance of power to the point that the military buffer of defense in the East, which is where the future of the planet is,
yeah,
all the way to the Middle East, and make Taiwan vulnerable and all of us vulnerable, you know, then, yeah, that is not going to be politically stable for him.
Even Marjorie Taylor Greene's seat in very red Georgia has gone blue.
Yes, does not surprise me.
Yeah.
Yes. We haven't really seen the fallout because, as the show is way ahead of its time, always, and we're talking about things that haven't quite happened before they happen, in the same way, this negativity politically, we haven't really quite seen it yet, but we will see it. And also, one other little observation,
yes,
and excuse me, I've had the flu, so that's why my voice is a little rough.
Don't pass on to us.
Yeah, no, I won't. But just, it underscores the fact, when we're talking hundreds of millions of barrels, goes on every day. This is what we burn and pour into our thin veneer of an atmosphere daily. And now, of course, we're blowing up each other's oil supplies. But it does underscore the real lack of concern about the future of our fragile planet as well.
If only we could have the same sense of certainty that Mr. Trump imparts to his words, and things like the ultimatum that he set, complete capitulation or surrender. And then he mentioned something that sounded almost like a stroll in the park. He said that they could invade to seize nuclear material. And what does that imply? Is it like...
Say again? Sorry? Say that last part again about nuclear material. I missed what you actually said. But yeah, but for your first point, once you ask for unconditional surrender, Ulysses U.S. Grant style, then you are raising the expectation of what a victory would look like. In other words, you're setting yourself up for a defeat, no matter what success you have in this operation. So that wouldn't be a first choice. However, it is business acumen. If you are negotiating, you negotiate from the strongest position you can, and then you come down. But conflict is not exactly the same as business.
Gary, we'll have to leave it there.
Sorry, again about the nuclear material.
Gary, we'll talk more about this. We'll leave you to save your throat and get well. Keep taking the medicine.
And yes, we'll do.
And I'm going to play I'm going to play the Eve of Destruction by Barry Maguire right now. It culminates in some of these great anti-war songs. Let's go.
Look forward to that.
See you later. Bye-bye.
See you soon.
The Eastern world, it is exploding. Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling?
There we are. That's Barry Maguire, who spent some time living in New Zealand, and that's the Eve of Destruction. Did you hear him say the Jordan River? That's in that area too. So the Eve of Destruction, Barry Maguire. It's 9 minutes to two. He's back.
Part two.
Go for it.
Dwayne Porter.
You smell.
Well, you were speaking before about how the exports go overseas and they have to be put on hold at the ports where most ships are loading dairy products because they're running out of refrigeration containers.
Yep.
Has anything happened to improve that?
There's no improvements at the moment.
Ships waiting?
Yeah, the ships are waiting at the moment. We've got 28 sitting out in the Tauranga Harbour.
Sitting at anchor or out to sea?
Sitting anchored and also out to sea. There's three petrol boats are sitting out there at the moment, which are supposed to be one coming in as from tomorrow week. So they had to reschedule that one.
And so many of the ports are affected by what's going on in the Persian Gulf. The ship's currently at the port of Tauranga and expected to leave in the next few days. So you have a list here. There's Handy Tradition, a fertilizer carrier, Neptune Matura, which arrived from Nuku'alofa with containers.
Yep.
Then on Tuesday to Auckland, Cosmo Gloria comes in from Nelson to load logs destined for China.
Yep.
That log trade may not have been disrupted by the Middle East.
The log trade is still the same, but what they try and say at the moment, Mel, is that it's affecting towards China of the export of like all the other stuff, but with the logs and that, it's, you know, they're all struggling to get the logs over there in the rough because of the rough seas.
Rough seas, and you've got ships sailing tomorrow from Tauranga for Whangarei Harbour's Marsden Point.
Yep.
The Orange. And finally, across the Pacific to South America, its landfall will be near the main port and financial centre of the nation of Ecuador, Guayaquil,
yep,
where it'll have a fresh load of containers.
Yep.
Yes, it goes on. And interesting ports, we have the ships come here, and Tauranga may seem a fairly unspectacular harbour, whereas some of these are exotic destinations, aren't they?
Well, it is actually, and you look at it as like Lyttelton, New Plymouth, Marsden Point, Rongorai, and all that.
Yep.
And what is that, you know, it's with the petrol at the moment, there's six boats of petrol are coming in. Since the petrol price has gone up,
yep,
that's why the boats are sitting out there at the moment, because they've got to wait for them to clear the tanks so they can bring more loads in. At the moment, the tanks are only half full, and that's why the petrol tankers are working 7 days a week to get it all clear. And plus, you've got a load of bitumen coming over from the States, over from Singapore.
All kinds of cargoes. There's the Lutilkanari that's due from Geelong, Australia.
Yep.
Carrying a cargo of wheat, for instance.
Yep.
Anyway, we'll have to, because we've got to get Trevor in before 2 o'clock this afternoon. More from Dwayne next week.
Part 3.
Here's Barry Maguire and the New Christian Minstrels.
You cry when you see I'm gone. You know there ain't no woman gonna settle me down. I just gotta be traveling on, singing
green, green, it's green they say on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Now there ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna tell me how to spend my time. I'm just a good loving rambling man. Say, buddy, can you spare me a dime? Hear me crying, it's a
green, green, it's green, they say.
One of the great folk songs from the 60s, the New Christian Minstrels. At one time, Kenny Rogers was part of that team. And Barry Maguire, as I said, spent some time living here in New Zealand. That's Green Green. Good afternoon, it's Trevor's talk time.
Good afternoon, 8:30 at night, this Wednesday on Channel 1. It's about AI, how it's going to affect people's work. And it could be a lot widespread than a lot of people realise. And with that and email and all other things, I mentioned this a bit about this last week, but as a documentary came up on TV, I thought I'd mention it again this weekend. What's it going to mean? The disastrous effect of everyone's out of work. How are they going to live? Will there be mass benefits paid out by the government and all this? I don't think people realise the consequences of it.
That's why we've got to watch who we elect to power, Trevor.
Well, that's right. I don't know how they're going to get around it, because AI is increasing in its technology every day.
Oh, it's happening, AI, and I reckon that portrait of us on the website done by AI, we're part of that, Mel.
Yeah.
Have you had another look at it, Mel? Anyway,
that put me off as an artist.
Yeah.
Put me out as an artist, so to speak.
Well, we've got some people who can escape the financial troubles for fuel. With fuel rising high prices, doesn't affect balloons over Waikato, it seems. Not the balloons, you see. Hot air.
Oh, yes.
Sounds like politicians.
Yes, and they're putting it in their cars.
They're going to begin to impinge on our getting about the city of Hamilton as of next Saturday, the 21st of March, when vehicles will be kept from crossing around Innes Common there between 5:30 in the morning and 10. And that'll affect the traffic that goes to and fro the schools, I guess, because it goes through until Thursday, the 26th of March. Those enclosures of the road to cross Innes Common affect also Lake Domain Drive from just after the Innes Common entrance to the Killarney Road intersection.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's been a great old afternoon. We've given you a lot of information, and the last word goes to this guy.
And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Yes, the late Richard Nixon, his most famous speech, ending the show this afternoon. Good afternoon to you all.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.